I don't know if I opened these. I'm going to drink them. I'm excited about this. So, hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I'm your host, Christopher Hart, and I'm just going to grab a glass real quick. So, you know, we don't get to spend much time together, you and I. Just us. And there's lots of stuff I want to cover. We've got a few new sponsors for the show. And I do want to thank everybody who left reviews. I asked you guys last week to leave some reviews for the show on iTunes and Google Play and all your available review channels to kind of bury an otherwise meanie-faced review, and it worked a little bit. We got a few reviews in, and I appreciate those reviews. We've got several new sponsors for the show. We've talked last week a little bit about Macallan and Highland Park being sponsors of the show. They are a sponsor. Very happy to have them. I've always been a Highland Park fan, and I don't think I've told this story before about my engagement party. So I have mentioned my wedding bottle. I've mentioned my very first bottle of scotch. My wife, after we've been together for about 5 years, I proposed to her, and that was about, I don't know, 1 to 2 years into my whiskey journey. And I wanted something special, and I actually bought a bottle of Highland Park 25 for that occasion. So I proposed to her. She said yes. I prepared this whole, like, this really extravagant speech, and I practiced it the whole way there. I blindfolded her and told her we were going to go look at houses for, you know, like, hey, there's a house, an open, what do you call them? An open house. Yeah. And, we're going to go look at houses in this neighborhood, you know, for the future, long term, nothing immediate. And I gathered together all of our friends and family, like 50 people, and stood them at the back of the house and turned her and walked her in blindfolded to show her the house. And all she thought was that we were just coming to look at houses. And I put her back to everybody. And I took the blindfold off and I prepared this long thing I wanted to say to her about how much I loved her and how she was out of my league and that I was probably going to lose my hair by 40. And she, all that could come out as soon as I took the blindfold off was, you know, I love you, right? And she turned around and actually, no. We invited all of our family. There was a baby back there and a baby made a noise. So she knew something was behind her. And when she turned around, she started crying immediately. And I got down on one knee and I proposed to her. And everything I had prepared to say went right out the window. And we had a big party and we all the family came together and we drank and we drank from start to finish a full bottle of Highland Park 25. So Highland Park has always been a very, very special bottle to me. And I know a lot of Scotch drinkers who are huge Highland Park fans. So I was really honored to have them as sponsors of the show. Highland Park has no idea that story. They have no idea how special they are to me. And now you do. So very happy to have them on the show. If you are looking for an approachable single malt, if you are looking for, I will never, ever, ever have a sponsor on the show that I am not a fan of. So there are plenty of whiskeys who've tried. And I will say that if you're looking for introduction to the category, especially peated single malts, Highland Park is definitely the way to go. You can get the 12-year-old for $36, 12 years old for sub 40 bucks. Why wouldn't you try it? You bourbon drinkers are nuts. And they've got some no age stated whiskeys as well for cheaper than that. It's very inexpensive. So definitely try your Highland Park if you're a peat head, if you're a peat fan. The whiskeys that come from Orkney, the northernmost distillery in Scotland, I mean, it's way up there in the snow. It's Viking country. Are very different peat than your Islas, your Lafroigs, your Ardbegs. Not better, not worse, just different. I'm a huge fan. So, you know, God dang it. Someone sent me a message saying to stop. You say you're a huge fan a lot. So I'm trying, guys. I really am. I never realized I said so much of the same stuff over and over again until I started doing the show. I'm working on it. So Let's see. What else? We also have, our good friend Alan Denny. EP Carrillo is now a sponsor of the show. I'm a huge fan of their cigars. I've been talking about them for a long time. EP Carrillo and Stogies are sponsors of the show. And we are working on something. It's not quite ready to be announced yet, to announce a partnership to be able to order discounted EP Carrillo cigars from Stogies here in Houston that will ship to anybody anywhere in the U.S. So you can get, you know, discounted EP Carrillo sticks. I've talked about EP Carrillo many times. I'm a huge fan of them. And actually, their sponsorship doesn't start until next month, but I'm going to give them an extra shout out. Alan will be on the show next week with Mike Cameron, which is actually being filmed in 2 days. I'm super excited about that. Let's see what else. McAllen's a sponsor of the show. Congratulations to the Houston Bourbon Society for crossing 5,000 members. You have already been the largest single market group in the nation on Facebook, and you are a monster and a beast, and I am proud of you, and congratulations to that. Today we sit down with Iman from M&R Liquors and Elias, his lifelong childhood friend. I've known these guys for a couple of years now. Iman and M&R support HBS and our barrel picks and stuff that we do, and he's just an approachable, likable guy. They were both extremely lovable, and I thought they would be perfect for you to listen to, so you didn't have to listen to me talk so much. Let's see. We talk about – yeah, I think that pretty much covers it. We cover the whiskey sommelier thing. I do want to address something, you and me. I think it's crazy the bubble that some bourbon drinkers live in, and not as a criticism and not as a not as hate towards you, so don't take this as trash talk. I love the guys at Bourbon Pursuit. You guys are doing great things. But recently, and we talk about this in the episode, but recently a whiskey certification for sommelier has come under criticism because of its cost and the fact that it's not backed by anything and you can just pay for it and you've got it. And it's done by a group, these two guys that have a whiskey channel on YouTube. It's the largest whiskey following in the world by a factor of more than 10 compared to any bourbon following. I mean, it blows my mind. If you're in the bourbon world, it seems like your focus is only bourbon. And you don't realize that there are other whiskey communities out there that branch beyond bourbon. And these guys that crowdfunded a distillery, and they bring in more than almost $23,000, almost $25,000 a month in Patreon support for their YouTube channel. These guys have been killing it. And now they've been doing this whiskey sommelier thing for a while, and it's just now coming under criticism. And it just kind of caught me off guard. Like, how are you just not hearing about this? It's been going on a while, and it's been scoffed at for a while by some, but it just kind of surprised me that the bourbon world can be so far ahead of the game and yet so far behind in other realms that it's weird. Branch out your comfort zone. Do stuff beyond bourbon. It's just my bit of a encouragement to you. There's a lot of – this part is going to be on the radio? Or no? Yeah. There's a lot of effery is what I'll say. There's a lot of effery in the whiskey world. Not to say that the guys who crowdsourced a distillery is full of effery, but I really want to say the word so bad. We live in a bubble sometimes is all I'm saying. So anyways, with that being said, next week's episode is Mike Cameron with Devil's River. We finally get to the bottom of the Devil's River controversy, which I will open the show next week with an introduction as to all the issues that people had with it. And we will address them one by one with the owner and creator of the brand. And I am looking forward to it. So without further ado, I'm going to mention the Whiskey Social. I know this is the longest intro of all time. HoustonWhiskeySocial.com. The event is less than 2 months away. It's got to be killer. Get your tickets now. We're over halfway sold. And then some, I think we're 75% capacity. Shirts, everything you can find on the show, including glassware at mywhiskeyneed.com. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I love you guys. Thanks for hearing me rant. I appreciate you. And we'll talk soon. Cheers. one of the reasons I love having friends on is we're not just drinking just bourbon or just this that. It's a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. Which kind of goes into what we were talking about in regards to the whole whiskey sommelier thing, is that the bourbon world, and this is not, you know, before anyone assumes the worst. And for those who don't know, there was some controversy recently in which so I always forget the guy's names. Daniel Whittington and I forget the other guy's name, but they basically they run a YouTube channel that has more whiskey followers than any other whiskey related podcast or YouTube channel out there. They over 100,000 followers. They have their own secret Facebook group called the Whiskey Tribe of 10,000 followers. It's this like cult following.
Where are they based out of? They're based out of Austin. Okay.
And they actually crowdsourced and we only have an hour.
We're starting it strong.
Yeah, why not? You know.
So they actually crowdsourced an entire distillery, and the company's called Crowded Barrel, and they've been around a while. They're super popular, but a lot of people that glass is broken. Here.
Yeah, the bottom. Let me get you another one.
The bourbon world all but didn't know about them. Make sure it's clean, yeah. And it's so crazy to me that we live in this bubble. Can you still hear me? We live in this bubble where if it's not only bourbon related, if it includes scotch or anything else, no one gives a shit if you're one of those diehard bourbon fans. Oh, sorry. I always forget.
That was the key word immediately.
I'm not supposed to say that word.
Were these the guys that did that YouTube thing when it was it the Forged Oak or was one of those like the Lost Prophet? Remember, it was these two guys on the couch.
I don't know that they usually stand up in this little bar thing, and their videos are usually over the top, very energetic.
And it was these guys.
They have a ton of following. One guy's got a long beard. Daniel Whittington, I always remember that name. I can't remember the other guy's name. And I know people are screaming at the radio or Facebook right now with the answer. But they so the most popular bourbon channel is Bourbon Pursuit, right?
Okay.
Those guys, I think, just crossed the $5,000 a month in revenue from Patreon. That's great. That's enough to fund the show and to do big things. And they release their own brand and all the stuff that they're doing. They're very, very well known. These guys that sourced an entire distillery from their following, relatively unknown in the bourbon world, unless you were in the industry and you knew about them, relatively unknown, they bring in $25,000 a month from their YouTube channel.
Oof.
And it's just people giving.
I've chosen poorly.
$25,000 a month. I mean, it's so bizarre to me. And the controversy that stemmed around it is you can actually pay $4,000 for a weekend class to become a whiskey sommelier, which isn't accredited by anybody or backed by anything. It's just their own certification. It's a 2-day course, and you're basically buying it. And they got tons of controversy around it. And the guys have done, you know, obviously phenomenal things. I actually included in your little sheets there some of the packages you get for $1,000 a month and support from them. You get all these things. Name on the distillery wall. Name on the website. It's freaking.
It's called the Bastards Bar?
Yeah. So the guys, their followers are called the Magnificent Bastards.
Ah, okay.
So they have an actual name. I don't have any followers, but if I did, they would probably be called something offensive like Bastards.
Very offensive.
Very offensive Bastards. The ginger followers. Mm-hmm. I need to taste
Chucky
this.
Chucky and friends.
Might as well drink.
Yeah.
It smells good.
Mm. That is very, very good. It does remind me of Bolvene. I just did – so we've been filming the last week with with William Grant and a few people. We're trying to film a pilot to pitch to Netflix, and it's probably not going to go anywhere. But we got together with them, you know – you know, David Allardyce or Danielle Story from William Grant.
Yeah. So, well, this is a William Grant.
Right. Problem. Right. Which is why I bring it up. And they flew in and we just kind of highlighted the city and how we've kind of evolved into this whiskey haven and just, you know, filmed for 5 days and it was absolutely exhausting and ate so much food and visited all these places, ate Roe Flint, Caracol.
Mm.
Sounds like a tough life, Chris.
It's hard work eating and drinking.
I know.
Yeah, there was like six of us Saturday, Sunday, and we drank inadvertently over a three-hour period. We drank through two full bottles of whiskey.
Wow.
And we were completely fine. We didn't even realize how much you had drank. But
sounds like a Saturday night with me and my wife.
Less, I was going to make a joke. I probably shouldn't.
You could have had it. I led it for you.
You did. What are we?
I'm glad we started with this, though, because right? It's
really good, right?
86 proof in and around that.
23 years old. That's a 375?
It is a 375, 23-year-old. They did a 17 and a 23, I think. It paid homage, I think, to one of, you know, the directors of William Grant at the time. I think that's the backstory. I'm pretty sure that's the backstory about it. It's good. Sherry, you can taste.
There's definitely a wine influence there.
Yeah.
And that's – so one thing we do on this show, we're sitting and we're drinking for an hour. Definitely going to have to go lighter on the pores because I had Evans on last week and we had to go get food immediately after. We had to go Uber to a cigar lounge.
Evans.
We were doing light pours. So for those – and there'll be an introduction at the beginning where I kind of introduce you guys. Iman is – owner of M&R Liquor here in Houston. So I would love to – one thing we haven't fully covered on the show because we only have – you know, I think we kind of went over it last week. 22% of our listeners are here in Houston.
Okay.
So they may not be privy to how HBS does their barrels and kind of splits them up and spreads them out a little bit. So I thought we could cover that a little bit and talk about how traditionally it works. You've been doing barrel picks in the city for a long time, long before HBS was around.
To be honest with you, we just started getting into it in the last two years.
2 years, yeah, 2017.
Exactly. I just assumed because you had a Buffalo Trace pick last year that you...
That was the first year that we did it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Elias, we did it over at Elias's house. You know, me, my two brothers, Kaiser and Joey, and Randy and Alan.
Alan was there.
Travis Whitmire was there. We had a good time. Mr. Brisket over here.
That was awesome. I made a brisket.
We had a good time. Caught a nice little nooner. Afternoon. A nooner? Buzz.
My wife was not involved.
That does not mean the same thing here.
Nice little buzz. And then we all went our separate ways, but it was good. And I think that's what you brought.
I did. I brought our first barrel pick with Buffalo Trace. And also brought this past year's, the 2018s as well.
Yeah, we did dinner for that. That was a great time.
We were at Bosquet.
Yeah, we were.
That was amazing.
We had a good time.
I love that place.
We had a good time.
Nice little private room. So traditionally speaking, for a long, long time, basically stores who support brands will get a barrel of something. They bring in the entire barrel. We are in it's a double-edged sword. Houston's so massive that I had the idea that we would start basically treating our barrels. And this is something that I encourage people to use in whatever market you're in, that we would start using a network of stores to bring in a single barrel so that people wouldn't have to travel from the other side of Houston an hour drive just to get a bottle for $24 or whatever. So what we did is we approached a strategic number of stores kind of spread out across the city, and then we just go shopping, right? So we pick out barrels and we offer them to the store first. We definitely give them the option, and you've supported us at everything we've asked you so far. And then we release it, and it's been this machine. We've been able to do quite a bit, and the pull has developed incredibly. So we've been able to do a lot. In fact, this Saturday, we're supposed to be doing our Plantation Rum Barrel, our first rum barrel.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Teeling Irish whiskey, Jamaican, no added sugar. It's going to be – I'm pretty excited about
Brought
it.
Brought to you by the
– the great guys at Pierre Ferrand.
Yeah.
Our first episode.
Ah, that's right. Greg.
Good old Docs. This is fantastic. Guy.
Yeah, this is a winner. You know, we got a good amount of inventory at our stores out in Cypress.
You got three or four?
Three.
Yeah, I know there's that fourth one, but it's unaffiliated.
That's our cousin. he, you know, he has the M&R name. They've been operating for years upon years. But our three stores, you know, I guess my dad, Marcel, Kaiser, Joey, and I, we have our three stores out, you know, in the Louetta and Grant, mm-hmm. Spring Cypress, 249 Vintage area. Yeah. So that's what we do, man.
Well, so I learned at that dinner at Boss Cat that it's not just the only thing you do. You kind of have your hand in a little bit of everything, right? I mean,
I'm also a real estate broker. So shameless plug for anyone looking to buy any commercial property or anything like that. I leave the residential for my wife. I can't get my emotions involved in the residential real estate market. But yeah, you know, just, you know, our ancestors in general, you know, Lebanese folk are just very entrepreneurial spirit, you know.
My dad, your own business.
Yeah, my dad and his dad go way back.
To the old country, like Lebanon.
Yeah,
that's sure. how old our family is.
Yeah.
Being friends.
Right, which is why I thought of you, because we had this awesome dinner and we had never actually – I don't think we had met in person, any of us, except for at that dinner.
Yep.
I knew you.
We had met a couple times. Yeah.
But I hadn't met you, but I knew who you were. We were Facebook friends. And, you've been in the scene a while. There is such a camaraderie between you two. You guys give each other a hard time. I was like, you guys would be perfect together on a show, especially after a few drinks. So we'll see where this goes.
just wait.
Well, I moved away – to Dallas, and then we moved back, and then we've known each other since seventh grade.
Yeah.
And so we followed each other through seventh, through high school,
through the hobby.
Yeah.
Through the hobby.
Through, you know, we would party together in college.
Remember the 50, was it the 15 or 23 that one of my employees broke? Yeah. So on the way to pick it up. That's a good story.
Yeah. That's a really good story.
A Pappy 23?
Yes. Oh, embarrassing. Yeah. He had a,
it's old Rip Van Winkle, Chris. Sure,
he had a bottle of, Pappy Van Winkle on the side for me to come pick up. And
oh my God,
he's like, come pick it up. It'll be at this store.
Yeah.
And it'll be ready for you. I'm like, sweet. I'm headed there that way. And then he shoots me a text. He's like, call me. I'm like,
not good.
Oh, okay. No.
So I picked the phone. I was like, hey, I'm actually getting ready to head to the store. I was just, which one do I need to go to? He's like, none.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, do you mean none?
Yeah. You're like, burying the lead. Like, come on. Like, what's,
you're not going to believe this, but your bottle's gone. I was like, you sold it? He's like, it was dropped. I was like, oh.
Yeah. So what? Oh, my God. Yeah, so what happened?
Well, I pulled out a straw and started sucking it off the floor. No, I'm
just kidding. Shards of glass, who cares?
Well, you know, our floors are that clean at M&R our liquors.
Eat your heart out, Bucky.
Yeah. Yeah, we got nothing on their bathrooms. But yeah, it was an unfortunate situation. And this was, I guess I called.
How many years ago was this?
It's about 5, 6 years.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The good time.
It was, it was five to 6 years ago.
And it was one of our, like, I would say old head in our, like, our company. He had, you know, used to manage the stores. We call him our uncle, you know what I mean? And he went away to Lebanon and Michigan and the sun. And then he came back and was like, let me just work, you know, part-time with you guys and stuff like
keep
that.
Keep busy and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And we didn't have to train him or whatever. But, I mean, he also didn't have to spread butter on his hands that day. But, you know, he'll get a pass. Yeah, that was upsetting for Elias, you know, so – and it was the only bottle we had. I mean, at that time, it was even
– yeah, with the allocations that they were getting, they weren't getting anything.
Sure.
And when this bottle even would come now, through – it's a bit – yeah, I mean, it's just like – he's like, yeah, it's here. It's you here. Got it. And I'm like, yes.
But it's not here.
Now it's gone.
Oh, and it went bye-bye. So what do you guys have? Anything coming down the pipeline besides a bunch of HBS bullshit?
Yeah,
I mean, bull. Sorry. That's twice.
You need to beep.
It's these 23-year-old pores, man.
It is. Let's keep
this
coming.
I forgot how great this was. I forgot how great this was. Yeah.
That is amazing. Yeah. You have to set me up with a bottle or two on that one.
Mention this podcast, $100 at M&R Liquors for you. Usually retails in the $130 range.
Wow.
But mention the podcast. Come on in.
Oh, that'd be a great metric to find out if we have any listeners in the
there you go. There you go.
We get some analytics and it does break down in like percentages, but I don't know what that means. You know,
right? So Elijah Craig coming towards the end of February, early March.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that was a
boy, those are, they're putting out winners lately.
Yeah. And that was something that just kind of fell in our lap. I guess they had heard the successes we had with Buffalo Trace. Mm-hmm. And the,
did Jerry come see you?
1792. No, it was Sullivan. Sullivan. Okay. He's a supplier for them. And it's just awesome. It was a good.
How recently was this?
This was, they approached us, I'm going to say in about November.
Because so. Carrie had, I don't remember when she had the baby, but this is her region. And she pretty much, usually if someone's like bringing by Elijah Craig samples, it's usually her.
Yeah.
But she had a baby like recently. Okay. So I was wondering.
So it could have been that he was taking over.
Yeah,
Or for the stint, you know.
Sure.
But no, enjoyable person to work with. You know, I got
super cheap, super delicious. And,
oh yeah,
you know, good stuff. We picked out a 12-year for, you know, $30. It's I mean, what's there to complain about?
You
know?
No, you can't. Right.
You can't complain about.
That's the thing with these two bottles. When we picked in 17 and 18, I mean, for $25,
right?
I mean, it's
value.
Do you remember the ages on those?
Oh, 9 years was the first. Both of them.
Nine was
years.
The first. No, I think the second one was actually 8 year. Though.
And it's $25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, phenomenal value. Just great value. Yeah. I mean, even if you like to mix it, you know, I know it's blasphemous in the whiskey world, you know.
Drink it you how can, you like it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Who gives a darn?
I really don't care how you drink money, it. Dude. You can put whatever you want in it.
You know, this is America. You have the right to.
I like to put Kool-Aid in mine.
What kind of Kool-Aid is your favorite flavor, though?
Watermelon.
You're the worst.
Nice.
Orange.
You know what I've been doing on weekends?
Uh-oh.
I do what I call sorority style.
What's that?
A Jolly Rancher in it?
No.
I get, he sleeps with a bunch of dudes.
I get.
I knew you were that way, but not that way.
I get my quote-unquote white boy cup, you know, the Arctic cup.
Oh, yeah.
And I fill it
You up know, for the longest time, it never clicked that it was Arctic.
Yeah.
It was phonetic. I was like, RTIC cup. Like,
really?
Yeah. I feel so stupid that something like that falls through the cracks and someone who's – You know, I graduated high school. I went to college. Right. Like, I can't put together Arctic is the, maybe because I assume I give the brand more credit that we're not stupid enough that we need a phonetic spelling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the idea of the name Walmart. Mm-hmm. So, like, they had to separate it. It's Walmart. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's almost like people would, I don't know. It just.
It's amazing what the mind sees or the eyes see to the consumer. And, you know.
I work in aviation, and there's a thing that's common in catering for private flights called crudité. And it's spelled crudite.
Okay.
C-R-U-D-I-T-E.
So, yeah.
You learn something new every day.
Well, I bring that up because there's every time we get a new employee that comes through at our job, there's this girl that's just awesome named Ray Erie, and she talking to a captain about his catering will be delivered at a certain time or whatever, and she's like, your crudite will be delivered on, you know, and we are all like, stop, like, cringing every time she says it because, you know, the captain's probably cringing or, you know, same thing with charcuterie.
Yeah.
I love charcuterie.
That's a fancy.
It's so fancy.
I figure going back to the Arctic, I figure that's like the, you know, modern day don't ask, don't tell policy. If you see somebody out on a Saturday at a baseball, soccer
game. Well,
there's
game, Cypress.
Oh, it is definitely don't ask, don't tell.
There's hooch in there.
There's hooch in there.
Yeah.
No. This is fantastic.
This is a 17. So this is a 17 pick. So everyone that has had the 17 and the 18 loved the nose more on the 17. Than
sure.
The
well, the nose is fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
Much.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like we really hit this one.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, remember, I didn't even take.
You did.
I'm going to be honest here. You know,
oh, we're full, in a true tree, so full, it's a circle full, of trust.
Full disclosure.
No judgment. It's just us three.
I'm not a big bourbon guy.
I'm a scotch guy.
I'm a scotch, cognac, brandy guy.
That's where I started.
It just absolutely turns me into a prick, you know, bourbon does. But I know what I'm tasting. The palate is there. You know, I just choose to, you know, I guess trick my palate from, you know, scotches to brandies to – You know, vodka even, you know.
He becomes the Arab Hulk.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not my nature, so I just stay away from it, especially weeded stuff. Weller. Woo, woo.
So I've never quite, even listening to you now, like I believe what you're saying, I've never quite bought into that certain spirits make you behave differently.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that being said, a wine buzz is so much different than a whiskey buzz.
Oh yeah,
I always 100%. Feel loopy. Totally different. I feel super loopy and kind of
ditzy.
Yeah. For so sure. I mean, I buy into that, but I don't buy into the, you know, people say tequila makes your clothes fall off.
No, it does.
For me. Guilty.
Well, I'm filming this without pants on. So
what do you think of the taste of this one? Because you had the taste of the 18.
I had them both. When this first came out, I was lucky enough. So I don't know if you know the story, but I actually was invited to help pick the first one. Initially, Travis had mentioned it in passing one night over a few drinks.
Yes, he had told me that.
And then I never heard anything, and you guys had picked it, and it came in, and some was set aside for me, and I picked it up, and I loved it. I mean, you're talking about even if it was 6-year-old bourbon, but it's not. It's almost 10-year-old bourbon for $25, and yet we have this discussion that comes up frequently of paying $100+ for 10-year-old bourbon, and there are some people who've bought into it. Perfect example is I like Boone County, but when Texas got their first Boone County pick, it was $110, $120, $100, something like that. We got the same pick this year, and they've raised prices 3 times since then. Ooh. So the price to us would have been $175, and there's this – we had to pass on it because, look, every time something happens in the group, there's someone who disagrees with my decision one way or the other. But there were a lot of people who were saying, good job, good for you on passing it. It's not worth the money. It's not worth $200 after tax for a 14-year-old bourbon. And then there were a few that were like, oh, no, I still want one. And to be completely honest, now that we've passed on it, I know it's going somewhere else in the state, and I – kind of want at least one bottle,
right?
One bottle. It's really, really good. It pisses me off to the point, and you could say piss on Ray. Okay, that $200 when I know it was going for 100. I know it's simply a matter of capitalism, which isn't inherently bad. You know, I have no problem with capitalism.
No.
I have a hard time going from.
That's a tough pill to swallow, though.
Almost double the price,
$100 to $110. To close to 200.
A 65% increase in price in less than 12 months makes me, on principle, want to say no.
Yeah.
I felt Kentucky Owl did the same thing, to be honest with you.
And they
– Yes.
They did the exact same thing, and this release was not as good as the last release. And this release is still sitting on the shelf all over the country.
Oh, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. So I'm with you 100%. I know that Kenny and the guys over at Bourbon Pursuit and a bunch of other people argue, look, it's just something you have to accept. Prices are going up. And I get that. I fully get that. But to me, that's why I keep saying that bourbon is pricing itself out of the category. We are looking at a table, a plethora. You just offered me 23-year-old single malt scotch for $100, 23 years old.
Wow.
Now, that being said, a full-size bottle would be $200.
Right.
Is the same price as 14-year-old bourbon. And if once you know what goes into the breakdown of importing whiskey, the reason why single malt scotch has historically always been more expensive is because it costs money to bring something from overseas.
For sure.
So you're going into the cost breakdown. The margin on that is so much more in our favor. That why wouldn't you want to try scotch? Why wouldn't you want to try Armagnac? And there's so many great spirits out there that – I'm sorry. I'm going to branch out. You know, I mean, it's just simply the fact. We're bringing in that Armagnac from La Quintana. It's 18 years old, and it's the same price. Mm-hmm. Cash strength, no added color, no added anything.
Chris, I'm going to jump in here. And
sorry, I've been ranting.
No. I feel as if there's a perfect segue to my philosophy of – not always sticking with one category, because when you trick your palate, you get by switching from bourbon to scotch to brandy, you get to pick up on things.
New things that
your palate has been tricked into, like
– You get to change gears.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, and I think that's a way to, you know, push the envelope a little bit. And I say the same way to anybody that walks into our retail stores. I, you know, during Christmas time, they're like – I want to buy a nice scotch for such and such person. I said, okay, well, what do they buy? And, they usually buy this Glenlivet 12. Maybe I should get, you know, that. I'm like, no, This is the chance that you have to get an experienced Scotch drinker into something else and take credit for getting them into something
else. Oh, dude. And that's part of the fun is introducing people to new things.
Because you fall into this same how am I going to say, like, okay, well, if I have $100 or $75 to spend, you don't want to branch out and take a chance on, you know, quote unquote, wasting your $75 on something you don't like. So at that point, it's your $75 that you're gifting to the connoisseur. Sure. Yeah. They're like, okay, I don't like it, but I'll keep it on my shelf and gift it or like let other people try.
Or come back to it.
Or come back to it later, like I'm saying, tricking the palate. Or you get credit, the person gifting it to the person, you get credit for introducing him to something else, you know? So that's like that's the beauty part of the beauties that happen during the middle of, you know, like gift-giving season, you know, whether that be Father's Day or
Christmas.
Just push
We're not talking about a crazy tie, right? We're not talking about a subpar product. Absolutely. We're not talking about a gimmick.
No.
We're talking about literally this category that's existed far longer than bourbon.
Right.
And not that it's a comparison over one's better than the other. It's that this is a legitimate category. Single malt scotch is I don't think it's a rich man's game anymore. I mean, if anything, bourbon's a rich man's game now.
Yep.
I mean, just that Pappy alone is going for 23, what, $2,000?
It's going for $2,200 right now.
And that's where you can get it all day online. Yeah. If you went through legal channels and went through a retail store, a lot of them aren't giving you the retail. They're giving you the above secondary price, right? So, and some people are happy to pay that. Sorry, I just tapped that. There was actually a guy, me and Alan Denny, met on the show. Right after the show, a couple weeks ago, we met a guy at a cigar lounge, and we were just talking about trying to find a couple bottles of Pappy. And this guy was like, "You need Pappy?" I was like, "I don't. I'm good." But Alan introduced me as the guy that runs the Whiskey Social. Mm-hmm. I have the show. And Alan's saying, "I'm looking for a guy named John Hodges. Do you know John Hodges?"
I don't.
He runs Evergreen Chemical. He's an extremely wealthy man here in Houston. And a lot of people who do know him, they start seeing dollar signs. Like, oh, John Hodges is looking for Pappy. Mm. Okay. So he offered him Lot B, which goes for retail, $90 if you're looking at the secondary.
$450,
right, for Van Winkle Lot B, 12-year-old. He's like, John's looking for it? Yeah, John's looking for it. Okay. Well, I got a buddy who's got it for $2,200. and the first words out of your mouth are,
yeah, you can't say it on air. Yeah.
Can you put a bar over my mouth right now? I'm just F you, man. No, I'm good.
What, you don't like capitalism?
Yeah. Right, and that's the other argument.
That's called greed.
That's the other argument is people like to write off greed for capitalism.
Capitalism
isn't inherently bad, but greed is. Jesus Christ.
You know, it's
– turning my ringer off.
That's kind of an age-old – question within the, you know, within the retail world, where to price things at, of course, supply and demand. Look, you understand that. Everyone understands it. But, you know, there is sort of a sweet spot to where, you know, you're not going to put it on the shelf that it let it collect dust.
Sure.
But you're also not going to just charge regular retail because it's like, you know, we're cultivating this relationship with our supplier.
Distributors, you have to bring in a lot of product. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Sure.
Let's talk. So the episode we did with John Curran, from Favorite Brands, we talked about the amount of stuff that a lot of stores have to bring in order to get those bottles. A lot of these bottles are used as bargaining chips.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about what some of the hoops you have to jump through and stuff you have to bring in order to even get a Pappy 23.
So I guess the word stuff can be defined loosely, but also in a sense, like, first off, the person that's over, like, the allocations of these bottles in the city of Houston, I kind of equate them to you in a sense, running this 5,000 – over 5,000 person forum, right? It's a thankless job. Okay, he's
for
getting
damn sure,
and it's not like that's it's not like sure. You know. I mean, we've discussed this before. It is like you see, you know, what's going on as far as like Facebook and the forum, but the
and
person
private messages.
It's
amazing how quick someone will get mad at you,
right?
And you're not sure why,
right? Being it that it's a thankless job, the definition is loose of stuff is loosely define, because I've seen the back and forths on, you know, the HBS forums where, you know, one person will say, well, you know, in defense of the retail store, do you know how much stuff that these people need to buy
Patron in Cafe
or vodkas, and now you're like that's
raspberry,
right? Well, that's a perfect
example because that really happened.
Yeah, and it's like other people are not. What I'm saying is, it's not the stuff that the Smirnoffs, the Svedkas, the you know, the Jack Daniels of the world that gets us into these situations, right? It's the, you know, 5K stacks of Tullamore Dew, nothing against Tullamore Dew, or 5K stacks of this or that. That's something that's not going to, you know, turn over as fast as we want to in the liquor industry. But what I will say unequivocally, that RNDC has never approached me, M&R Liquors, my brothers, my dad, anybody that says tit for tat, pay for play, take this and we'll give you this. They do not do things like that. They're an absolutely professional, like zipped up, tied up organization when it comes to things like this. It's based, it's out of their hands, right? Of course, if you play the game, you know, yeah, you might get, you know, extra allocation here or there, but it's so minimal that it doesn't always happen, but it might help us out in a different situation. Because it's not like retailers that go around and saying, you know, I'm trying to get on the good graces just based on solely for their allocation of bourbons is doing it wrong, in my estimation.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That's not all. It's not the only category of things that are allocated or things that are hard to come by. Yes, it's the craze right now. It's the fad right now. But no, I've never been – that's just not the way that our relationship with RNDC for this in this point, because they have the allocations of your BTAX and all that stuff. That's not the way that they do it.
Can I push on you a little bit?
Yes.
So just so I understand, you just mentioned that starting with that, you mentioned that you've had to bring in Tullamore Dew or stuff that isn't going to sell, that's going to get you those things.
Right.
But you also, in the same breath, said that they don't force you to buy stuff. So what do you mean?
It's never been out and right.
Which would be illegal and called inducements, right?
Exactly. And I think that that's not a right way to play. And it's been done before, not by that company. I'm not saying anything against any other company either, but sometimes they try to do these. If you do this, but as far as R&D,
in kind of a roundabout way,
I see what you're saying.
So, doing it, but not doing it, right?
Yeah, I've never had. You know, it's like it's more or less like, you know what? I know you guys are, you know, trying to do a big push on this. You know what I mean? We want to help you out, and it gets good rapport. Hey, you want to do a survey? William Grant, you want to come in? Sazerac, you want to come in? Sure, guys. You know, we're here for you. Set up our store the way that we need it to be done. That's what I'm talking about. But pay for play, tit for tat, never – those words never come concurrently out of any salesperson, manager's mouth over at RNDC. Ever.
So I've heard mixed things from – depending on the store, because at the same time – you know, not to throw a specific store from the north or south, although you could probably guess both the real north and the real south store I'm talking about.
Okay.
But that they have been forced to bring stuff in, and not necessarily Pappy, but even when, you know, Henry McKenna became allocated, these stores are being asked to bring in, you know, like I mentioned, Patron Cafe or all these different things that have nothing to do with the brand. Mm-hmm. And even Heaven Hill was a little bit like, hold up, what's happening here? Like, you know, trying to get some clarification. And then even during Christmas, which, you know, we're doing an episode next week with Mike Cameron from Devil's River.
Yeah.
We're going to finally get to the bottom of that.
Oh, that's going to be an interesting.
We already have seating. This is my feelings on the whole interview. So I tracked down Mike Cameron's cell phone number, the owner of Devil's River. All the controversy centered around the brand. Called him on the cell phone. He answered the phone. And
so he's not a screener. So that's
awesome. He's not a screener. Okay. He addressed it head on.
I already had an issue with that.
Said we butchered, you know, that I say we, the royal we, the uproar, butchered his brand in a lot of accounts. They pulled it off their back bar. A lot of stores turned it away. And that he would be more than happy to come on the show and address things head on. I even offered to give him all of the questions in advance. That way, he's not blindsided. He's got time to prepare a good answer.
100%.
Right?
That's good.
And if he doesn't like the questions and pulls out the interview, well, that's on you. That's not on me.
Right.
But if he likes the questions and he's got a good answer and we can sit down and talk about it, I think it's going to be a phenomenal chance for things to get real weird on the show.
Just by him accepting is a huge sign.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
But because, I would really do this in front of a live studio audience.
No, no. Because from a PR perspective, you just ignore it, right? That's right. What you do nowadays. You don't address controversy. You ignore it. It goes away in 5 minutes until Donald Trump says something next.
Ah!
Right? So
it's live to Twitter, huh? Yeah. You get a devil's river. You get a devil's
The nose
river.
Ain't bad on this. I like this. It smells fine. But
it is.
The nose is really standing out in the 17. The 17.
And this one's got more spice to it.
Because we can say the word, but I'd say this has a lot more balls to it than
it did.
You know, the
can we say balls
previous.
In the air?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think you
oh,
say
yeah,
balls.
So.
Balls is
yeah.
okay.
Yeah. Balls. It's so the biggest problem that we have, I think, now in today's we fall for trends is we like to compare picks. The whole idea of picks is to get a unique snowflake of an item, not in today's sense of the word snowflake, but
and we got Trump and we got snowflake
all in
the
same
2 minutes.
In 2 minutes.
Where we're going
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just saying we should build a wall around our.
We're right here.
No, we're in such a trend to compare things to other picks, which is it's not inherently bad. I think we should definitely compare things, but again, I think sometimes we're so quick to compare that. We're often not willing to – perfect example. If you like the 17 over the 18 and you heard the 17 was better and you don't go buy a $25 bottle of 9-year-old bourbon, you're a freaking idiot.
Yeah. Right.
The point is that it's still better than the shelf item, right?
Right?
And that's the whole goal is you want something that's better for the same price.
Well, when we were picking this, if you remember at Boschcat, we were torn. We had to put this almost to a vote between two barrels.
Right, right, right.
You think
right,
it was
right.
one and three?
It was one barrel one and
yes,
three.
Yes, yes.
It got put to a vote because one group of guys said, this one's way closer than the previous year's pick, so I'm picking it because I want it to be close
consistent.
And consistent with what the customers had the
exactly.
previous year.
Sure.
And then there was a group of us that were like, no.
Change it up.
Let's do something different.
Let's think outside the box.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so after we started talking about it for a little bit longer, the guys that were like, well, we wanted to be consistent, but we kind of see your point.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did for the Four Roses pick this year is we had initially tasted seven samples, and seven was our favorite, some of our favorites, but it was so bizarre and so out. Our first thought was the average person isn't going to enjoy this, mm-hmm. so we shouldn't even consider this one. And then so we waited. We bounced between – same thing. We kind of talked between these mm-hmm. other two. And by the end of it, we're like, screw it. I want seven. Seven's the unique one.
Let's go
seven's
funky,
outside
right?
the box.
Yeah.
Let's go funky.
Well, you know, and I will actually credit – not actually, but Evans Tabor for giving me
Love
the
that
idea.
Guy.
Yeah, for sure. Of, you know – white lying to some people saying that I don't have any more Buffalo Trace, but I've pigeonholed a few back so that next year in the coming years, I can
compare,
not only compare, but maybe, you know, somebody who loves our picks to mm-hmm. here's a 2017, 18,
sure.
19 vertical in the sense.
I think it's a smart pick. It's a good way
to
and by the
show,
way, it's not lying.
Right. Well,
you pulling it aside for yourself for whatever the reasons
right,
are,
right, exactly.
and you telling someone no more is available
right,
is a truth.
No, it is. There's no more available.
Don't,
yeah, I guess
don't feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
That's word, you know, parsing words and whatnot, and the way I'm framing it in a sense. Yes, but I think for the benefit of the bourbon connoisseur who's been following, you know, our retail stores, mm-hmm. they would appreciate that. You
yeah,
know
yeah.
what I mean?
Well, see, the big thing with M&R Liquor is. You have a huge following because it,
you know, it goes way back for
one. For sure.
And two, it's all family.
Yeah.
You walk into the store and
that's the perception of your store is it's very family.
It's all family. I mean, I'm in Kaiser Joe, every one of them.
Yeah.
They know probably 65 to 75% of the people that walk through the door.
For sure.
On first name basis.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
It is. And you know what? I have to also credit our staff as well.
Did Kaiser come to the dinner? I know Joey did.
No, Kaiser was in visiting Lebanon at the time. But I have to also credit our staff for like picking up on what we do. And then this is how we are selective in our process of picking our staff is that they see the repeat customers. So they get on, you know, a basis with them, whether that be Ben or Kalon or, you know,
TJ,
Mike or Zach or all the guys that Elvis is a mechanical engineer who's worked for us for 10 years and all he picks up are Friday and Saturday shifts and people love him. You know what I mean? So it's just the consistency, you know, the camaraderie between us. You know, we have inside jokes that everybody knows. Like, you know, I was discussing with Elias earlier the Blanton's guy, you know, they walk into the store.
Neck Tyler? Beard.
Oh, anybody.
In anybody.
Walk into the store.
Oh, the guy asking for Blanton's.
They take the – and they look over to the counter and we'd look them straight in the face and say – Blanton's, right? How'd you know? We must get at least per store.
Could you pick up any audio on that?
On a week?
Nope. Oh. Yeah.
On a weekly basis, we must get about 10 different requests for Blanton's and the such. You know,
it's crazy.
Never seen these guys.
Crazy how allocated.
Oh man,
they're just like, cruising around they're stopping at any liquor store
And then they'll say, man, I come in here all the time. I shop here all the time, like, no, you don't. You know, but then
I'm
again,
here every day I would notice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or you know, we talk amongst each other. Oh, is it this guy that drives this or whatever the case is? So keep going to your local honey hole. You know, that's the way
you build rapport up with your guy. I mean, that's how you get the phone call. Hey,
absolutely.
This bottle came in. Promise not to drop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you make it up to him?
I think I found something. I don't know. I
think you found me at 15.
Yeah. I think that's
the 23 was dropped and he got me a 15.
God,
well, you were still sitting on some pretty good scotch too, because I remember I think for our Jack Daniels pick, I think Shelbel Stokes came up and and cleaned you out a little bit.
Oh yeah. She's the Glenfiddich girl, huh?
She's obsessed.
She's a sweetheart. Yeah,
she does not like the peat.
No. I'm afraid to have her on the show. She's
scared of the peat.
she's very well known.
Yeah.
And she's a great person.
She is super
intelligent, makes incredible amounts of money. But she is a perfect example of how people are layered, that there are different sides to all of us.
Right.
We're all onions.
There's the dad. There's the
– Peel it back.
Yeah. You hang out with certain friends and it's like, you know, locker room talk.
Yeah.
She is – I remember one time I did an interview with her for Barrel Picks at Bad Wine Reviews. Great channel on YouTube. Check it out real quick. Real quick videos on reviews of
is
stuff.
That when you point up, go check out the link.
No. Yeah. We did an interview together and she was being so gross and vulgar and you know, her humor was very college guy humor. And then she got a quick phone call and switched into professional mode and was like talking. She works at she's like a nurse, but I think trains nurses. Mm-hmm. Like it's up. It's like between nurse and doctor, but not. She travels around constantly at all these different hospitals and visits these boards. And
consultant type.
I'm not exactly the title, but switched immediately into like medical equipment and jargon.
Right.
And I'm like, which one's the real you? Like, so she.
Well, it's funny that whenever she came to pick it up, her father was with her, and her father is Iranian.
Oh, really? Yeah, oh, that's right. She's I think she's Albanian or something.
Oh, Iranian.
Iranian,
And you could see the, you know, and I think her mother's, you know, American. Again, I might be misrepresenting it, but because you're saying that, it's like her mind can compartmentalize things in such a way, you know, and it could be, you know, the influence of one culture to another, mm-hmm. or whatever the case is, you know, because it's a proven fact, like the things like that, you know, like are and she's just an intriguing
character
in the minimal dealings I've had with her, you know. So
can we do this? I've been wanting to try them this new McAllen. So they're a sponsor of the show, but that's not why we're pouring it, because I'm not contractually obligated to necessarily drink them.
Right.
But I'm a huge fan of the 12. This is the new packaging of the 12, and I want to see
the black box.
I want to see if I still enjoy it.
No,
And I'm sure I'll still enjoy it because it's still fully matured Cherro Pedro Ximenez sherry and handpicked. Yeah. So let's – I want to find
out. I know they came out with the double oak or double cask, I should say.
They did a triple cask too, the fine oak, I think. They've done a bunch.
So that's the proper pour.
Yeah.
For the segment. Our bad.
And I'm sweating.
I think you should draw lines in your cups next time. Like, this is where our fill level is.
It's a little etching.
Uber.
So it's
you know what I mean?
I'm such a fan of sherry bombs, especially if you're a bourbon drinker. I always like to introduce
my favorite McAllen ever was the sherry cask that got discontinued.
Yeah, the Burgundy box. I preach about it constantly.
I have three bottles left of it.
Yep,
and I'm holding it.
This is nice.
I mean, Scotch is.
This is nice. Come on.
You get brands like Glenmorangie, and they'll do a $45 bottle of 12-year-old single malt Scotch.
God bless.
And if you know anything about, and I don't know that anyone that works in the industry will enjoy this, but working backwards as far as margins go to kind of gauge what it must. What they must make on a Glenmorangie coming importation, it's got to be less than half of what the bottle price is, right? So you're talking they make for 12 years, you may make 18 to 20 bottles of profit on a bottle. That sucks.
That's right.
And so just to be able to keep those prices down low is just ridiculously.
Well, then, I mean, with this, they took a sizable price increase.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the price now?
Now, if
you mentioned the podcast,
in the 70s, you know.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
That's generally what you'd see at mom and pop stores, anyways, is around the $70 price. Now, I know that's not necessarily the cost of the store, but typically speaking, now that's McAllen, right? So I was referring to Glenmorangie.
Sorry.
Glenmorangie 12-year-old was about $45 a bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. McAllen 12, even then, you're talking. Half that, you're talking $35 of profit, maybe $30 of profit.
This is smooth.
It's so ridiculous
for 12 year.
Good old smooth.
Is that the? You can do it for Scotch, not for bourbon, right?
Yeah, you're gonna catch crap for it anyways. Right.
Well, vodka. I mean, you can do it.
Good
smooth.
Old vodka.
Smooth is fine.
How many filters has this gone through?
Well, that's the biggest thing. It's like, oh, man, it's we distilled it 10 times. What are you using, shitty water? You know, like that's what I always tell people.
So just for clarification purposes, can you say shitty?
Oh, crappy.
That's really cruddy. It's really good.
So you're Lebanese as well?
Yeah, I'm Lebanese, Greek, and Czech.
Wow.
It's a grab bag.
You're an American incarnate, just a melting pot of.
Well, and my wife's Iranian and Mexican.
Oh wow!
So our son is.
She's a Rexican.
Yeah. That's the first I've ever heard that.
That is,
and she will touch you.
I just the word erect, like this was like right there on the tip of my head. I have to say,
Rexican. I would have taken that a totally different way.
I just covered up. I just called her a sweetheart.
So. Oh, thank you.
And you have kids too, right?
I have one boy.
One boy.
Yeah.
How old is he?
He turns 10 on Sunday.
10. You have two?
I have two. I have a boy and a girl.
Ages?
3.5 and 1.5.
Okay, so you went the young route.
Yeah.
So our second half, our last two.
Yeah.
Are
that way.
Two
yeah,
and three.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so you kind of took a furlough, like
a little
break.
A 10-year break. Yeah. Our two oldest are 13.
Oh, like, wow.
Yeah.
My wife keeps saying she's going to get pregnant at 40. I'm like, it ain't happening.
Like she wants to?
No, like she is always.
Like with her luck, like, I'll be the 45-year-old mom.
I see what you mean. I'm not like planning on it. Well, my wife, after we had the second, it was a girl, and we didn't find out the sex afterwards.
You waited?
Or before, yeah. We waited till
really?
It was a surprise.
Y'all are crazy.
Well, look, there's so much. much freaking testosterone in the Najjar household, right? So we don't have a girl, right? So she thought, you know, hey, there, you know, there's not many surprises in life left, you know, like let's do this. And in the beginning, you know, me business guy, I'm like, no, we got to plan, we got to organize, we got to do this, you know. And then I was like, you know what? Let's just go ahead and do it, right?
Sure.
It turned out to be the best experience that I've ever had in my life.
Having the two later in life.
I come from a family of boys, you know? So out comes the girl that everyone wanted, you know? The doctor even joked and quipped afterwards how my mom, you know, right before leaving the room, she kind of like went up to her kind of female mafiosa style, said, give me my girl. And she laughed about it, and sure enough, it came, you know. You know, she's just it's great. And I know I digress, but I mean that little girl has captivated my heart.
It's absolutely fantastic. I mean, and I know there's nothing more cute in the world than when your kids do something.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
In the same statement, there's nothing less cute in the world than when someone else's kids do something.
Oh my God.
I hate everybody else's kids.
Yeah. So this really adorable thing happened last night that I want to convey, but every time I tell someone the story, it doesn't.
They don't feel it. What you're feeling.
Yeah. So I work night shift and a lot of times, and our kids were bad last night. My wife's, you know, one thing parents love to do is talk trash about their babies, right?
These little buttheads.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Really make you feel bad.
Yeah, they make you feel bad. Why aren't you here?
Why aren't you here?
Your son threw away the baby monitor.
It's no longer ours. It's yours.
My 3-year-old threw away our baby monitor last night. But so they were being bad, and I wanted, first of all, let's go back to the baby monitor thing for a second. So my 3-year-old threw it away. And my wife's like, your daughter threw away the baby monitor. And I was like, "What? Why aren't you watching her?
The tables have turned.
That means my child had to have unplugged the baby monitor. And there's two cameras. So from both sides of the room, you're telling me our daughter unplugged them both, carried them from the back of the house to the trash can in the front of the house, and you're telling me that it's my fault? Why weren't you watching the kids? Ooh. Now, I didn't say that because my wife scares the hell out of me. So what I said was
– So are we going to cut this out? Yeah.
No, you can do, but let's talk about wives for a minute. No, but – so I sent a photo. My wife was saying the kids were being bad. So I was at work and I took a mean selfie, like a mad face at the camera.
Yeah.
It's for her to show the kids like
that you mean business.
Yeah, the daddy's mad at you.
Live pic. I mean,
you can hold the button and you can see the motion.
So I don't have an iPhone.
You need to because it's important.
So she shows the kids the daddy's mad at you. Mm-hmm. You better behave. And they immediately got one, my son got scared. Two, my daughter started apologizing. And my wife sent me a message and she's laughing hysterically. But then she sent a voice note of the kids. I'm going to do this. I have to do this. Again, I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
She sent a voice note of my daughter apologizing.
We said this is freewheeling.
You put the fear of God in your children.
Through a picture. Yeah. Through a picture. Text.
Well, there's nothing but a dad look. When a dad gives a certain look to their kids,
times are
changing.
First
of all, this is the photo that mean dad, right?
Oh, you look angry.
You
mean business.
So my wife sent me this note. Let's see if it'll play. Hold on.
Oh my God. I took it into them. They're taking a bath and I showed them. I was like, I showed daddy that you were being bad in the garage. I took a video of you, and this is what he sent. He's really mad. And Wesley immediately threw the full cup of water down and just stood there and looked at me with, like, his brow furrowed, like, what is happening? And Nora goes, oh, no.
And then they sent me this.
Sorry, daddy.
Say, I'm sorry, daddy.
No, I felt the cuteness, even though they're the kids.
Daddy, I'm going to cook your daddy's
song. Yeah, did you hear that? She said, I'm going to be a good girl, daddy. She's like, daddy, I'm sorry, daddy. I'm going to be a good girl, daddy. Through a picture. And in a couple of years, if I'm not there, they're going to realize that I can't spank them through a picture.
Right.
So they'll be like, it'll be a Wild Wild
West.
You
never know, though. I mean, things are changing drastically with technology.
That's true. So a little virtual reality spanking. Mm-hmm. Just put the glove on at my office and just.
Yeah, like the Nintendo glove.
It's this great thing, and I've always said that if my wife's body could handle it, and we had the money, I'd have 15 kids. I wouldn't stop. They're the best freaking thing.
They are.
And it helps to have a few drinks, you know.
No, like, absolutely.
Like to unwind from all the stress of having.
Now look, you're officially done having kids. Right. This is on record.
Now look, if any of these gentlemen sitting at the table with me were recreating and raising kids, I'd have no problem with having.
But you're
kids.
Done.
But what? Yeah, you know. But it's like now I'm more worried about the way that other people are raising kids. And I know we digress again, but like I was saying earlier, I was touching on. I told her, okay. We had a boy, we had a girl. I don't want to push our luck. That's it, you know. So 6 months ago, I thought we had an agreement. 6 months ago, she goes, babe, I was thinking. And I go,
it'll keep you young.
I was like, oh, well, you keep thinking. You just keep thinking, yeah. You know, because it ain't happening. It probably will happen.
I think you should. So I listen, it's one of those things that it's intimidating, it's scary, yeah. And it sucks when mm-hmm. you first find out when you're definitely not planning for it, but you will acclimate, you will adjust,
and you will
be thankful it happened. When it's all said and done, you're like, I'm glad I did it.
Right.
And my wife's mom had 7, the Ooh. Last one at 45.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. And I think you told me that your wife is has a lot of siblings as well,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah. My wife's 1 of 7. Wow. And so she's the middle child and the middle girl.
So her and I would get along.
Oh,
I'm the middle one too. You know,
she's so. Great. But it's one of those things that you're always thankful you did it, but not until a couple of years pass.
Right.
Like not until they're toddlers and then they're cute and they're sweet and they're telling you I love you in a voice note and it's
and throwing away baby monitors
and yeah. throwing away baby monitors. What's next?
What's next? What do you want to do next?
So let me have it at the Amber. Ooh. You want to do Stag?
Well. Is this our last segment? Wait,
this is our last segment. We have 3 minutes left.
Damn.
This is flown by.
Okay. Well, this puts hair on your chest.
Okay. Well, I can use some hair on my chest.
You should check out my back.
Do you have anything that –
You can cornrow it.
Don't show your ass, Elias.
Do you have anything that will put hair on my head?
Yeah. Yes. I suffer from that too.
So does George C. Stagg make a Rogaine?
Yeah. It's built in. This is the 2010, and it's only 143 proof.
Only 143 proof. So it's you can't bring it on an aircraft.
No.
Oh, that's enough. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to pour too much of this one because
– See, you know what's great thing about this nose is it doesn't come off as 143
proof.
Oh, no,
but when you put it in your mouth you can read that whatever way you want. You'll definitely feel it in the back of your throat.
Oh, hey, yo, okay. I see All right. what you did there.
All right. I've got Fred and AJ back on.
No homo.
It's so good.
Ooh, man.
Isn't that amazing?
What year was this?
It's 2010.
2010? Yeah. That's that old bourbon don't. It's got that classic, like, almost over-oaked, like it's 16 years old, cast strength George C. Stagg. It's got a tremendous amount of oak influence.
So somebody – I saw somebody ask, what does the T stand for?
And so this is one thing I love about HBS.
Titties.
That's one thing I love about HBS. Yeah. Somebody had posed that question, and none of the answers were serious.
Oh, was it?
It was like cool. Tobias. Someone said titties. Someone said –
Well, no, nothing was serious with regards to the chicken debate either that went on for a while because nobody said that the best chicken wings are from your local like little hole-in-the-wall Chinese restaurant. Have you ever tried chicken wings? From
no
from oh. Chinese buffets.
No, not buffet. No. Like just
or
like,
crawfish.
Oh man, it's good stuff. It's
yeah,
good
I'm with you there. No shellfish. No. So the and you know that's one thing that I love about the group is these tangents that go on for about 48 hours and then anything past that it's too long.
You put the kibosh on it.
Yeah, yeah.
At a good time.
I started getting.
I like it marinating for at least 3 days.
So after about 2 days, I started getting messages of just people just like, dude, could you please –
Thankless job.
We went through. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's I don't need to be thanked. And me pointing out that it's thankless isn't saying, hey,
I can do that.
Give
for
me
you,
a
buddy.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely not asking
I
for
no, I know.
Attention. You asked for this, you piece of crap.
You signed up for this.
That's another thing, is I can't just walk away.
No, nope.
like it's in perpetuity. Oh, like, is. Yeah. I mean, well, we'll see what happens.
You went
I'm just
all
gonna
in.
Have a stroke at 41 yeah. and be like,
well, I hope my admin duties transfer over.
Right.
To the next schlep.
This is fantastic.
It's amazing.
It oh, it's
I
really
thought
great.
It'd be a great bottle to bring and share with you guys. It's one of my favorites.
Thank you for bringing it, first of all. Current Stag is good. Mm-hmm. This is a whole other realm.
Yeah. This is amazing stuff.
With that, guys, thank you so much. We're
no,
out of
no
we're
problem.
Out of time.
No, yeah. no, no, no problem.
This
no
was
problem.
Great. M&R, Iman, thank you so much,
oh,
man.
Man.
Appreciate
no
it. Elias, buddy, this was fantastic.
Great
I knew
time.
You guys would be great together.
I'm gonna leave this with you.
Okay.
I want you
what
to
is
try
it?
This. Okay, so this is craft brandy.
Okay.
Out of California. From California.
Yeah.
They were bought out by Gallo eventually. So this is, they've been doing it since like 19, they've been doing craft since before craft was cool.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
A great product. 375 should retail for like $25-$28.
You're hitting all the right notes
yeah,
so far.
$20 that we sell it at our store, you know, it's a phenomenal brandy for the price, for whatever you're getting for it. And it's craft, it's small. Think, was it Copper and Kings?
Copper and Kings,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? But these people did it a lot.
Long before,
and,
yeah.
And they went into it with the business plan of, you know, like, hey, maybe someone will come along and buy us out.
Sure.
And sure enough, E&J Gallo.
Okay.
Bought them out. So keep this with you.
I will have this on the show Friday and or next week's show. And
it's good. It's not
I'm excited.
It's not going to blow your mind away, but it's just a stalwart, good, just like.
Yeah, phenomenal. It's a good everyday drink.
Yeah.
Well, sweet guys. Thanks so much. Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm going to do
good
a little
time.
Tap. There we go.